Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. Now, as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still excited because we are still in that book of Psalms that is so incredible, I think. And we know that this study exposes us to, again, I think, the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note also that King David did not write all of the Psalms that are in our canon. He only wrote 73 of the 150. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written or ascribed as being written by Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan, and 12 others were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, if you will, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is that every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I consider a commercial break, in which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. We have a chat room that you can go to that the host is monitoring during the program. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank you all for those who have given me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Now, the Spirit says to the church at Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, verse 29, he that overcometh shall have power over the nations, meaning the flesh, and receive the morning star, meaning Jesus Christ. Now, the promise is that you will overcome. And you will have power over the nations, the meaning the flesh, and over the morning star, and receive the morning star, meaning Jesus Christ, if you keep his commandments. Again, the Spirit says to the church at Sardis, he that overcometh shall receive a white garment. His name shall not be blotted out of the book of life, and his name confessed to the Father and his angel by the Son. This is taken from Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. And still again, the promise is that if you overcome, meaning if you do not let the world take advantage of you and fall prey to the world, that you will receive the white garment, like the white robe that is necessary for everyone to have that is going to heaven. And your name will not be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will be confessed by the Son in front of the Father and his angels. The Spirit again says to the church at Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse 13, he that overcometh and keepeth the words of Jesus Christ shall not be subjected to the hour of temptation to commit sin. My brothers and sisters, isn't this so vital a promise that if you overcome and you keep the words of Jesus Christ, you will not be subjected to the hour of temptation to commit sin? And finally, the Spirit says to the church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, he that overcometh shall sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. Oh my God, the promise is great. The ultimate is to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ, but you have to overcome your worldliness. So the question again for this hour, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get to the study, I want to remind you, as I always do, that the Bible is written in code, okay? Meaning in mysteries and secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is the intent tonight. We are studying, and hopefully we're learning. Now, let's get to the study. The book of Psalms 104, verse 21 through 28, and verse 31 is what we're looking at. And the instruction which I'm going to give you, I would like for you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The instruction is this: the works of God exemplify. Now, there are so many works of God. We know in Genesis chapter 1, and it tells us the mighty works of God, the ones that are predominant in our lives. But these that the psalmist gives will echo those. And this is what David said to Israel in 104, verse 21 through 28. David said, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O God, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerably, both small and great beasts. They go to the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather, and thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. And that is what, and 31, verse 31 completes the thought when it says, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. So what David is doing is demonstrating to Israel that glory or that example of God's works. Now what we're going to do is go to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to look at verse 42, and this is what Jesus says about, I would consider, the ultimate work of God, meaning God made flesh and dwelt among us. This is how Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner,
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. What Jesus is depicting, my brothers and sisters, is that he is the ultimate work of God. And that stone that is rejected, it is the only way we can get into glory. Okay, now before we go to the next instruction, we're going to take a break.
All right, you have to learn to pray. You learn to pray in the same way. Lord, teach us to pray. Now remember, in living this Christian life, you don't have to live it alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you to give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the courage to live the Christian life. Now, the Holy Spirit also helps in your prayer life. The Scripture says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Now, may I make a suggestion? There are so many people that say, well, I don't feel like praying. I only pray when I feel like it. Then you're wrong. You should have a definite time and place every day to pray. You have an appointment, you have an interview with Almighty God. Suppose you had an interview with President Eisenhower tomorrow morning. You'd get up and say, well, I don't feel like seeing the President this morning. Or suppose you were going to be presented to the Queen. Well, I don't feel like it this morning. No, you'd be there. You'd be dressed in your best. You'd go and present yourself to the Queen. Well, every day, God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is waiting. He has given you an audience at any time of the day, and you fail to keep your appointment. Have a definite time that you set aside and pray when you least feel like it. The will is involved here, too. You say, I don't feel like it. All right, your emotions. Your body says, I don't feel like it. My mind says, I don't feel like praying. My will makes me go and spend time in prayer because prayer is work. Prayer is work. And many times you make yourself keep your appointment with God, and out of some of those moments come your most precious moments and some of your greatest answers to prayer.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to our next instruction. And just a quick reminder that there are 150 chapters written in the book of Psalms, and I have written 232 instructions, and we're on instructions number 146. And this is the psalm. We're going to go back to Psalms 104, and we're going to look at two verses. We're going to look at verse 29 and 30. And I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read those two verses to you. An admonishment. That is the instruction I want you to keep in mind. This is a warning. An admonishment. And this is how David put it to Israel in Psalms 104, verse 29 and 30. He said, Thou, O Lord God Almighty, hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The admonition is, if God does not give you the breath of life as identified in Genesis chapter 1, where he breathed into the body of man and man became a living soul, then you die. That's the admonishment, that God can take away your breath. So you need to be ready for God at any given moment. And this is what the New Testament compares and agrees with that in Hebrews. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 puts it like this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that is the admonishment for us today, my brothers and sisters. In that garden, before Adam fell, he would have lived forever. But after he sinned, that was taken away. And what is significant for us to know and understand is that both the flesh and the spirit dies because of the sin. And that's why Jesus had to come. And that's why the Hebrew admonishment in verse 27 says, as it is appointed upon men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And in the judgment, the soul is what is judged. And if the soul is found guilty, it will die also. That is so significant for us to understand. And this is what it means to us spiritually in our lives, that the wages of sin is death. We must continue to be repentant, asking God on a regular basis for forgiveness. That is the key to our soul salvation. It is through repentance. My brothers and sisters, that's what I want you to keep in mind and understand for this instruction. Okay, let's turn back to the next instruction. We're going to go back. This time we're going to go into Psalms 105. Psalms 105, and we're going to be looking at several verses, verse 1 through 5, and then verse 8 and 11 to complete the thought. Now, this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. What God will do for his people. This is what David is telling Israel, and he's only giving partially what God will do for his people, because we know God will take care of all. But this is what David told Israel at this time. In Psalms 105, verse 1 through 5, this is what David said. Oh, thank unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name only. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and judgment of his mouth. Verse 8 continues and says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. And verse 11 completes the thought, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. There is what God will do for his people. That is significant. And they should do all of the practices that David just mentioned before he said in the end, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. So that is the land of milk and honey for Israel. Today, we are to receive heaven. And that's the final key to what God will give to his people. Now let's go to Matthew, the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And this is how Jesus says it today. Jesus says, seek ye, in chapter 6, verse 33 in the book of Matthew, if you're there with me, this is what it says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So Jesus is telling us more prolifically, or more in the volume, or the expansion, more expansively. Jesus is saying that he's added to what David is telling Israel. He's saying that you seek the kingdom, all of what's in the kingdom, and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. Everything else you need, God will provide. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will provide for all of us our needs if we obey his word. Basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, that gives us as much as we need of all of God's word. And that's what I'm trying to share with you in this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 148. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to look at Psalms 106 this time. And David, again, is talking and rehearsing Israel. We're going to look at verse 3, 13, and 21, and 40 in this Psalms 106. And what I want you to do is pay attention to the instruction as I read the verses to you. This is what we're going to, I want to highlight. God will punish for disobedience. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? God will punish for disobedience. And this is how David put it to Israel in verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that does righteousness all the times. Verse 13 continues. They soon forget his works, waited not for his counsel. Verse 21 continues. They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. And verse 40 is the conclusion of the thought, and it says, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. My brothers and sisters, that is critical, that the wrath of God is what we're going to receive if we do not keep his commandments, if we are disobedient. And now let's go to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at verse 44 through 46. And this is how Jesus puts it today. This is one of the instances that we must obey in order not to feel the wrath of God. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life everlasting. So that is so significant, my brothers and sisters, that we must obey the commandments of God. And we can see what Jesus just said. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That not following God's commandments will get you God's punishment, even unto death or destruction of the soul. And that is what we want to avoid. That's what I'm trying to illustrate in this instruction. Now what we're going to do before we go to the next instruction is take a break.
A wise person once said, the tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside of us while we're still alive. We think we're the victims, but actually we should be the suspects because it seems we've killed more dreams than rejection. We've given our ambitions a lifelong sentence. It's trapped deep inside of us. It makes no sense. It's been locked for so long we've even forgotten its name. Everything we do today feels like it's all the same. Our dream is like a prisoner trapped within us, a vacant listener lacking all vision. Until someone comes and says, you don't see your own potential. It's like we all need our own intervention, a moment with a mentor, a coach, or a guide, the type that sparks a light deep inside our minds. And then they ask us, what's your passion? We shrug it off and say, that stuff doesn't happen. And then they push us a little further, probe us to think deeper. They're always focused on helping us find the hope inside of ourselves. Let me ask you, would you let someone who had incredible potential die right next to you? You would never do that. So why do we let them die right inside of us? That's why the missing link is a coach. A coach is someone who tells you what you don't want to hear and has you see what you don't want to see so you can be who you have always known you can be. Some of us get given people, some of us get given lessons, but all of us get given moments to change the trajectory of our lives. We can't imagine Kobe Bryant without Phil Jackson. We can't imagine Serena Williams without Patrick Mouratoglou. We can't imagine Tom Brady without Alex Guerrero. It's not about what we take, it's about what we leave behind. Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Picasso said that the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of life is to give it away. Coaches can be found in books. Mentors can be found in schools. Guides will be found throughout life. We don't have to be in the same room to understand their point of view. We don't have to know them for them to show you the way. We just have to have the burning desire to learn. Behind every great person is a coach that we may not even know, a name that we may not recognize, a face that we may never see. A lot of people have gone further than they thought because someone else thought that they could.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue. We're on instruction number 149, and we're going to go now to Psalms 107, another Psalm of David, and we're going to be looking at several verses, 5 through 8, 13 through 15, and 17 through 19, and the reason for it is because we're going to cover what David gives on this instruction that I'm getting ready to share with you. I want you to keep in mind God's providence. You've probably heard of the term Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And this is what David is rehearsing to Israel in this particular psalm, what God has done for them. And this is what Psalms 107, verse 5 through 8 says. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right hand, that they might go to a city of habitation. Now, what David is rehearsing is the time that Israel was in the desert. And verse 13 through 15 continues the thought. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in asunder. And again, remember when they were at the Red Sea, that they knew that the Egyptians and their armies were going to trounce them. But of course, God opened up the Red Sea and they walked through, and then he closed it upon the Egyptians. And that's what's being rehearsed here. Now he concludes the thought with verse 17 and 19. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And again, what David is rehearsing is at the time when they were crying out for meat and for sustenance, the Lord provided. And that's what David rehearsed to remind Israel of. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to look and see what Matthew chapter 18 says in comparison and agreement. And we're going to look at verse 11 through 14. And this is what Jesus says for us today. Listen, my brothers and sisters. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Now think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountain and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if it be so that he findeth it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went astray. Even so, listen, my brothers and sisters, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. It is God's providence, my brothers and sisters, that all of his humanity should be saved. And this is what it means, should mean to us spiritually in our lives. that God will take care of all those who are obedient and repentant. That's the key to not going into eternal damnation. Obedience, or I should put repentance first. Repentance and then obedience. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Psalms 108. We're going to go to Psalms 108, and we're going to look at verse 10 through 13. Psalms 108, verses 10 through 13. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you is this. Only with God will you succeed eternally. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Only with God will you succeed eternally. Now, we know that in the physical world, you can succeed on your own, even though God is the instrument behind that. Still, a lot of humanity feels that they've done it themselves. But I am specifically showing you that you cannot exceed eternally without God. And this is what the psalmist says, telling Israel in 108, verse 10 through 13. This is what it says. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, who has cast us off, and will not thou, O God, go forth with our host? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. What David is saying, that worldly success does not come before salvation. And that is what only God can give us. And this is what the New Testament has to say about that, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go, come with me if you will. We're going to look at John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. And this is what Jesus is telling us today that is so critical about the same. Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That is eternally. Without Jesus, you cannot have eternal life. Now, of course, those who are in the world can make fruit of itself and be prosperous and succeed physically. But that is not eternity. Eternity is forever. And that is what we're seeking. And only through Jesus Christ can you attain that. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must realize that it is the spirit, the eternal, that quickeneth. The flesh, the physical, profiteth nothing but in the world. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? So physically, you can be successful, but spiritually, you need the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And that is the key, and that is something that I'm trying to get you to understand with this particular instruction. Now, come go with me, if you will, to the next instruction, instruction number 151, and we're going to go back to the Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 109 this time. And in Psalms 109, we're going to look at several, or this verse, 4 through 6, these verses, 4 through 6. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. And the instruction is a request for vengeance. A request for vengeance, my brothers and sisters. That's significant. And what we're going to do now is take a break, and then we'll return back to the instruction.
When you are tired, you must be very careful that you do not become dehydrated. You have got to drink this water. You have got to drink this word. You have got to drink this worship. You have got to move away from wells that will never quench your thirst. And you have got to receive the water that flows from within. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the reason that you came to church today is God wanted to give you water. He knows you're tired. He knows you're thirsty. He hung on a cross and said, I thirst too. He stretched his arms this wide because he was tired of it too. And the man who was God became man, and he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And he said to the woman, and he said to me, and he said to you, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am the light. I am the shepherd. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the vine. I am the seventh man. I am the seventh man. I am the well. I am within you. You will never get what you need from out there. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. I know you're not in a church building. There's no worship leader to tell you lift your hands. Will you do it anyway? I know there's not a feeling telling you right now to have hope. Can you hope anyway? It is a well that springs up from within. It is a well that men did not dig. It is a well that does not consult external situation. It is the well of the Holy Spirit. And God said, I came all this way to sit with you, to be with you. The proof of his power was not just when he walked on water. The proof of his power was when he sat on a well. Did you hear me better online than they heard me in this room? Because if you got that, you got the whole message. He didn't just prove it by walking on water, which he did. He proved it by sitting on a well. Sometimes he walks on water. Sometimes he is water. But I declare.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue our lesson. We're in instruction 151, and the instruction is a request for vengeance. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 109, verse 4 through 6 about that. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I gave myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me with evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. So what David is saying to Israel is at the time when he was being accosted, that he was asking the Lord to take care of his enemy and get rid of them. Now, we know in the Old Testament that in the book of Leviticus, it tells us the law at that time says, thou shalt love thy neighbor, and thou shalt hate, or thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt hate in thy enemy. Anyway, that is what it stood for at that time. But we know today that we're under New Testament regulations, and let's go and see in our New Testament how it compares and agrees with that vengeance, the request for vengeance. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 43 and verse 45. And this is what it says. Jesus is telling us and giving us a new position in this vengeance of your adversaries. And we know that in the Old Testament, it also indicated, the prophet said, that God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, I will recompense. Now, this has been implemented today in our New Testament. It was not implemented at the time in the Old Testament when David was crying out to the Lord for vengeance. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. And I just mentioned that to you. And it was in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, where that's what the law was at the time. Verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This provision has come along with Jesus the Christ and faithfulness and repentance. This is an addition to what God said about all of his love. All of his love includes, Jesus is revealing to us, loving your enemies. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. 151, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, I will recompense. And that is what has taken the place of the Old Testament law. Now let's go to our New Testament. I mean, let's go back to our Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 101. We're going to look at Psalms 101, and we're going to, or I should say Psalms 110, correction. We're looking at Psalms 110, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 in Psalms 110, verse 1 and 2. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read these two verses to you. This is what I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters. God rules over his enemies. And that is what David is getting ready to rehearse to Israel. Regardless of any circumstances, we should understand that this holds true today, that God rules over his enemies. And this is what David said in 110, verse 1 and 2. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. And this is what David was telling Israel, even though he was depicting a physical assault. These are the enemies today that I am sharing with you that we should be aware of. The enemies of the flesh against the spirit emanates from, number one, sin. Number two, the knowledge of good and evil. Number three, the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. Number four, the garden, the curse of the Garden of Eden. Number five, Satan. Number six, the flesh, and I should say number five was the flesh, and number six is Satan. Number seven, ungodly men and women. Number eight, death. And number nine, hell. Those are the nine that I am sharing with you and presenting to you that we should be concerned about. And God does rule over them if you keep his commandments. That's so significant. And now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelations and see what the book of Revelations identifies, comparing and agreeing with what I just shared with you. We're going to look at Revelations verse 19, verse 6. Revelations verse 19, verse 6. And this is showing God's prowess. It says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And that is what was said by the 24 elders that were seated on the throne with God, and the four beasts, and all of those who are within heaven, that God reigneth omnipotent over all. And so that tells us about his rule over his enemies. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, and get another understanding that Paul gave to the Corinthians about the same. This is what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, meaning Jesus, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Remember that God said to Jesus, all power and authority is under him over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as he will. And that was identified in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. And we also know that, well, I would say we are going to go now to James chapter 4, verse 4, and this is how James put it, the writer. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So that is another expansion of the explanation of enemy. You got to be very careful that worldliness will also get you in trouble with God. Now we're going to take a break before I give you the spiritual instruction that it's intended for this.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You may not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was. If you lose the job, keep the faith. If you lose a spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wit's end, keep the faith. If
you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to thumb, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's get back to our instruction and complete the instruction. It is God rules over his enemies. And we've read all of what the Old Testament and New Testament has to say about this, giving God the preeminence, if you will, and over all of his enemies. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives that I want you to have as the point in the instruction, that there is only one overall power in existence, and that is our Jehovah God. And we know that the Bible we just read, that he is omnipotent. We know that he is omniscient, that he is omnipresent, that he is all in all, as Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So that is the instruction that I want you to take from this spiritually. And now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 153. We're going to go and pick another look at 110. We're going to look at verse 4 in chapter 110. And what I want you to keep in mind, and this is so significant, my brothers and sisters, this is the instruction. The order of Melchizedek. Now, the reason that this is so significant, because I am submitting to you that this is another name for Jehovah God. Now, the reason I am submitting it like that is because, well, I'll preface it with the other names that we are familiar with, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, Adonai, I am that I am. Those are some other names that our Jehovah God is identified with. And I'm submitting to you tonight that this is another name. And the reason being is because David identified it, and the Hebrew writer is going to expand upon it. And what I'm going to do is read what David says about him in Psalms 110, verse 4. Now, this is what David says. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, David is referring to the Messiah, who has not yet been identified in the Old Testament. But David is saying that he will be a priest forever after that order. Now, a little background. In the book of Genesis, Abraham found out that his nephew Lot had been taken by those who conquered Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. And Abraham took an army of men and went and reprieved his nephew Lot from the enemy. Now, on the way back from the war, Abraham met with Melchizedek. That is how it is written in the book of Genesis, and that David gave him a tenth part of the spoils from the war. And that Melchizedek was considered in the Old Testament text a priest of God. Okay? Now, we're going to go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 1. And this is how the Hebrew writer expands upon Melchizedek. And this is where it identifies him as another name for God. This is what it says. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. We're going to go to verse 15 through 17 to continue the thought. It says, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is bringing into the complement what Psalms 110 verse 4 said, what David said about it. And furthermore, it says, for this is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitability thereof. And verse 15 says, for it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. And that other priest we know is our high priest and prophet, as the book of Hebrews tells us, Jesus the Christ. And verse 16 says, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. That's why David said a high priest forever after this order. Now, verse 21 gives us more information. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, remember that the Levitical priesthood that stemmed from Aaron is not the priesthood that Jesus stems from or his followers. Jesus stems from Judah, and we are his followers. So that's what 21 is talking about. And 22, for so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So that tells us about Melchizedek. And the climax I want to share with you is this is where the understanding of the name. It says in verse 3 that Melchizedek was without, was, this is what it says. I'm going to read verse 2 and 3 together. It says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being interpreted, meaning this Melchizedek, as the king of righteousness. And after that also the king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without father. Listen, my brothers and sisters, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So that tells us that it was actually God in the spirit. And that is why I present to you the name Melchizedek as another name for God. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and we Christians are also priests after the same order. Remember, Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 says that, it says that Jesus washed us in his own blood, clean from our sins, and made us priests. And that is the key. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, that's the instruction that I want you to get from this. Now, this completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement this evening. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.
And that is 8 p.m., not 7 p.m. anymore. Thank you.
Amen.